Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Ronchi, Amy Marks-Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
Check it out.
St. Louis, Mound City, we are going to have a great day today.
On 104.1 FM.
Let's take it from the top.
KMOX.
Good morning, y'all. It is The Chris and Amy Show today featuring John Hancock. We're happy you're with us, and we hope that you'll stick around.
Yeah,
the
we
next
do.
Few hours until
Please
12
do.
O'clock, and then it is the Gas House Gang. That is at 12. It'll be Bernie Miklas, Tom Ackerman, and me. We'll talk Cardinals baseball, of course. Lots of other things to get into. The Billikens have a big game tonight, which we will mention in just a moment. Please reach out to the show if you like. 314-436-7900. You can listen to us on the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, download it to your phone. And from the app, you can leave us voice messages. It's really easy to do. If you want to watch the show, you can do that too on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Well, what if the Battle Hawks and City SC played in the same stadium? That apparently has been on the table. Is there anything real happening there? But the UFL did explore a possible move to Energizer Park.
And tonight, President Donald Trump will deliver his first State of the Union address in his second term. And we'll talk about what to expect.
Billikens will play at Dayton tonight. This is a big game for the Billikens. They are on the road, a tough opponent. We'll have the broadcast here starting at 5:45. That's on 104.1. Later on this evening, actually a little before that, on 11:20 at 4:55, Cardinals spring training baseball against the Nationals. So we have sports all over, and you didn't think that we could put on two different broadcasts on our signals.
But we can.
We can. Billikens on 104.1 tonight. And then prior to that, the Cardinals are on 11:20, John.
Sweet. So, looking forward to it. You know, I'm encouraged so far early in spring training.
You are?
I am.
I mean, it's very early. It's only three games in.
Our starters have gone six innings. They've given up two runs, solo homers both. And strikeout numbers have been pretty good. Michael McGreevy yesterday, I thought his velocity was a little titch low. So that's something to keep an eye on.
I always keep an eye on that because that's, if it becomes a thing.
It's a thing.
You know, then it's a thing.
Yeah.
So as I mentioned right off the top, there is, we got a lot to get into today, by the way, and we will talk to Dave Simons. We'll talk about the Trump tariffs, which have, you know, been struck down by the Supreme Court, but he still says he's going to implement some.
Yep.
So we'll talk about that, what it means for you. Sam Dykstra covers minor league baseball, and we'll talk Cardinals prospects with him. Andrew Egger on the show. We got a lot coming up today.
A lot.
But I mentioned that right off the top, KMOV had a report that came out later yesterday that the UFL, which is the league the Battle Hawks play in,
yeah,
have been exploring the possibility of Battle Hawks games moving to Energizer Park. And it was confirmed that both sides had had some discussions, and this must have taken place weeks ago. But it doesn't look like it's going to happen, at least not anytime soon. But the idea is super intriguing. Now, I would not say it's completely off the table forever. Maybe for right now, maybe for next season. Of course, they're going to play at the Dome.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what these games will.
The Dump.
Yeah, the Dump. It's not very nice.
Well, it's not very nice, but it's not a great
The building's
venue.
Not very nice
no.
anymore. It's actually, it is, you know, it could be better.
It's a dump.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's fallen behind. Any other football stadium is light years ahead of the Dome in America.
Didn't the
right
Chargers play a season or two in a soccer stadium before they moved into SoFi?
I don't recall, but
I think they did.
Maybe they did.
I could be wrong. Yeah. You know, I'm often wrong, but never in doubt.
Well, I usually trust you.
Yeah.
And I will trust you on this, that they play in a soccer stadium. But if you think about the Battle Hawks, who can draw 40,000 people, and they've been able to do that, they could easily fill a 22,000 seat stadium.
Yeah.
So I think the visual would be awesome.
It would. And that's a great venue, that Energizer Park. I mean, the noise and the dome is just so sterile. And you put 25,000 people in the dome and it, doesn't have the oomph that you want.
Now, I like going to games. I think Battle Hawks games are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it's the crowd. It's not the building, because the building is not.
Right.
It doesn't look good.
Right.
I mean, let's just be honest. It does not. It's not welcoming. When you go in, it feels like a, and I'm sorry to say this, I don't mean to crap on the dome, but when you go into the dome for a game, it almost feels like, are we supposed to be in here?
Yeah.
Like, should this place be open right now?
Is it open, right?
Yeah, it doesn't look dangerous or anything. It just doesn't look new. They did put the new turf in, which helps a lot, because that old turf they were using from the Rams days was brutal. But I think the people make the atmosphere. It's so much fun going to a game there. And being in a dome it's immediately louder because the sound is all kind of enclosed. But it would be something playing in that stadium.
It would. It would. But I don't think it's going to happen. Football cleats on that grass. I mean,
that's the problem.
Yep. And I think that. These soccer guys, they like to have their nice little grass out there.
It's got to be pretty clean.
Yeah.
A football stadium, those guys have been used to playing on bad turf. Hell, I'm a fan of a football team that for years, their stadium is known for having some of the worst turf in the league, and they play on it.
Soldier Field.
Soldier Field has terrible turf.
Well,
it's gotten better in the last few years, but for some reason, for like 15 to 20 years, it was a struggle just to keep it right.
Huh. Yeah, and I feel like the Eagles' turf is not very good either. The Bears are going to solve that problem, though, by moving to Indiana.
Well, that's very possible.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think they still end up in Arlington Heights, but
we'll see.
Indiana, the location is right on the border of
Hammond, Indiana.
It's actually closer to Chicago than Arlington Heights
is. Yeah.
So I don't know. But for a football team to play where a soccer team does, I think it's a soccer pitch needs to be clean. It needs to feel pristine.
I don't think it's going to happen. Not for a league like the UFL. I mean, God bless them, but
John, how about this?
Yes.
Speaking of the UFL, we did get a press release today.
We did.
About new rules.
They've got new rules
in the
UFL.
They've got some new rules in the UFL.
Do tell.
And this one is my favorite. There will now be 4-point field goals.
Whoa.
For any field goal kick from 60 yards or deeper.
It'll
be worth 4 points.
It should be. That's a very good rule. I like that.
You remember the show Rockin' Jock? They'd have like Rockin' Jock basketball and Rockin' Jock softball on MTV.
Okay.
And there would be on the basketball court, there'd be these circles that it'd be like a 10-pointer. If you shot from this one very small circle on the court and it went in, it was 10 points.
That's cool.
They should do that with football.
I like it.
They'll do the 1 foot inbounds.
Okay. Yeah.
For a reception, just like college. Uh-huh. There will be penalties. The penalties in the red zone will be half the distance, whatever. They are getting rid of, in UFL, they're getting rid of the tush push.
Oh, very. Now, that's something that's been discussed extensively.
In the NFL.
In the NFL, yeah.
They're getting rid of it altogether. It's gone.
So, can you push a running back, though? Like, if you hand off to the running back and he's going through the line, can you get behind him and push?
It doesn't say anything about the running back. It just says the quarterback taking the snap immediately diving
because
forward.
On the defensive side of the ball, you can't use leverage from another player to like jump higher. That's illegal.
Yeah, that's been illegal, right?
And so you could make it a consistent rule and say you can't use leverage to push an offensive player that's the ball possessor.
Here's another one. There will no longer be punting allowed from inside the 50.
Oh.
So if you have moved the ball to the opponent's 49 and you're fourth down, you have to go for it.
Wow.
Even if you get a penalty and you get pushed back past the 50, you know, because you can't be like, oh, we're going to do delay a game,
right?
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Nope, they're going to make you. Go for it.
Wow.
I love that one.
Wow.
So there's going to be some slight alterations to the kickoff rules. So nothing of, you know, like huge note, but those are the big ones.
Those are big. And, you know, they've got some of the rules they have where if you're trailing by a certain number of points at the end and you score a touchdown, you get the ball again, or you can take it from your own 20 or something and try and score. You know that rule?
I do not.
Yeah. That's a rule.
Is that UFL?
It is.
Oh. I know that they have the 1 point, 2 point, 3 point conversions.
Right.
They're still doing that. So, anyway, there are going to be some new UFL changes, but they will not be playing at Energizer Park.
They will not. No. My favorite is when they have a booth review, they actually take you to the booth.
Love it.
Yes, that is so awesome.
I really wish they would do that in the NFL.
Yeah, I do too.
Where you can listen to them talk about it and you could see what they are seeing.
Right.
I think that'd be amazing. However, I actually kind of think replays are pretty good theater.
Yeah. No, in all sports, you know. And growing up, we never had that. You know, baseball, football, it never happened. But it's cool now.
Now you got baseball with the replay and this season. And if you're watching any of the spring training games or you've been listening along, you will hear them challenge balls and strikes.
Yeah.
It happens very quickly. The assessment is that it'll add about a minute to each game, which is not a big deal.
Nothing.
Because the challenging of the balls and strikes is immediate.
Right. And then you're limited to, a couple or three?
You get a couple.
Like
if you get it right, you get it back. So, yeah, I like replay. And I think in football, especially, replay is really good theater. When a play happens and then they go to, you know, the challenge, and then you're watching on TV and you're watching the replays yourself and you're with a bunch of people and you're like, that looks, I think his foot's in. I don't know. I think it's good theater.
Yeah, some I wish they would allow pass interference reviews.
I agree with you on that.
Because they missed. That call is ridiculous.
I agree with you on that. John Hancock has a problem with you people who are in customer service.
Oh,
and
man.
We are going to
talk about that
when we come back. That is John. He is in for Amy. I'm Chris Ronji. This is KMOX.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We're sorry. All of our representatives are still assisting other customers. Please remain on the line as we value your call.
If you valued my call, you'd answer the phone.
Don't get me started, Ronge.
Well, we have to get you started because all of us have called customer service. There's not a single person who's listening who has not called customer service.
Yeah. Let me tell you what happened. So,
and by the way, you're still on hold. I could hear your phone.
Yeah,
going.
I'm on. Should I turn it off? They're not going to answer. I guarantee you. All right, I'll turn it off. So, New Year's Eve, I'm having lunch with my nephew and his fiance, and we're having a lovely conversation, talking about the wedding, you know, and they mentioned this young couple that they were very aggravated about having to pay their personal property taxes, which reminded me, I don't think I've paid my personal property tax. So I got home, I got online, and I paid my personal property taxes. And then when I was balancing my checkbook in January, I realized that I had already paid my personal property taxes on December the 9th.
Oh.
So I paid it twice.
Okay.
So I want to get my money back. You know? It's my money. And it's not a small amount of money.
John, nobody else should have your money.
No. So I called the St. Louis County Department of Revenue.
Oh, you should get through quickly.
I got the answering machine.
Oh.
They punched 3 to talk to a representative. I did that. And then I was on hold, Ronge. I was on hold for 57 minutes.
57 minutes.
And I hung up and I called the main number for St. Louis County and punched through and I got an actual person and I said, could you please ask somebody from the Department of Revenue to call me back? She says, I can't do that, but I can give you their number and I'll transfer you. She transfers me. I'm now on hold for 40 minutes. I'm sitting at my desk. I'm working, you know, and this horrible music is on. Please continue to hold. The next available operator will be with you shortly. Well, that was a lie. And so then I thought, okay, I'm going to get online. Maybe there's some portal out there. I can go and communicate with the St. Louis County Department of Revenue. So I get online. I find their website. And there's no place to click to talk to anybody, but there's an email address. Department of Revenue Collector at stlouiscounty.mo.gov, whatever it is. So I send them an email. This was 2 weeks ago. I have yet to receive a response to that email. Now, these people owe me about $1,200, and I can't communicate with them. There's nothing I can do. And I call. They don't answer. I email. They don't respond. This is not good.
How?
St. Louis County Department of Revenue, folks. Horrible.
So is it,
I'm very aggravated.
Is it the kind of thing where if you were calling to pay a bill, they would answer right away?
I would imagine. Yeah. When I went online to pay my personal property taxes for the second time, right into the system, there I am. There's the amount I owe. Didn't indicate that I'd already paid it. And
now there should be like a fail safe there or something.
One would think, Ron. One would think. But this is a government, and I'm paying for it. And I'm paying for it twice, as a matter of fact. And they don't answer the phone. How many people work in the St. Louis County Department of Revenue? That's my question. Because none of them are answering the phone when you call in.
What if it's nobody?
Well, it could be nobody.
What if nobody works there?
Well, maybe there is no Department of Revenue. But they do have a phone number, 615-1500, hit number 3 and stay on hold.
Don't give the number because the people are going to call and then it's going to reduce the odds you get an answer.
How many people could possibly be calling the St. Louis County Department of Revenue on a Tuesday morning at 9:17 and remaining on hold?
How many times have you called them?
This was my third today.
When you just called?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very aggravated. I don't like it.
So if you work for the Department of Revenue...
If you work anywhere in St. Louis County, if you are a St. Louis County employee, 436-7900, we'd love to hear from you. If you work for the St. Louis County Department of Revenue, 314-436-7900, we won't call you. You call us, and then maybe we can take care of figuring out how you can refund. Now, this is my bad. I paid it twice. I mean, stupid. But... They owe me money, and they won't answer the phone.
And it's funny that we are talking about this now or that you're having this issue because we are going to talk to somebody who's the author of a new book.
You're talking about Amos Tanuma.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Amos Tanuma has written a book called Hold, The Suffering Economy of Customer Service.
There it is.
And we will talk to Amos at 11:30 today about how customer service is becoming less and less human.
It's AI.
It feels like it's kind of been pretty robotic for a long time.
Yeah.
But now that's accelerating.
I'll tell you who's got a good AI. I mean, maybe the best in the business. Jet's Pizza. You call it, you get the AI bot there at Jet's Pizza. He remembers that I'd called him, 3 weeks ago.
Does he sound like a human?
Ish. But he clearly, and he clicks away, you tell him you want the four corner Detroit style pizza with pepperoni, black olives, mushrooms, onion, extra cheese. And he spits it right back at you. And as soon as you do that, he said, would you also like the chicken wings that you ordered the last time?
Oh, he remembers your order.
He remembers my order. And he calls me John. And and then he repeats it all back to me. And he said, did I get that right, John? And I said, yes, you did. Thank you so much. And he said, you're very welcome. And He said, we will text you pickup time. And sure enough, you hang up, boom, the pickup time is in your text chain immediately.
Are you sure this isn't just like an awkward human?
Nobody.
That sounds robotic?
No, because he's clicking. You can hear him when talk. You hear the clicks in the background. And
is that while he's thinking?
Yeah, he's thinking about what I've, you know, the wisdom I have imparted to him about this pizza that's magnificent. The four-corner Detroit style with pepperoni, mushroom, black olives, and onion, and extra cheese. And, man, he nails it.
What if your Jets pizza experience is as good as artificial intelligence gets?
I could live with it.
It could be
AI. I could live with it.
With that, too. I don't need it taking everybody's job.
Right. But this is kind of nice because, you know, when you order with a human being, yeah, they get stuff wrong.
They can.
They absolutely can. The other day, I'm in the drive-thru. Here's your sweet tea. No, I said. I ordered unsweet tea. So then they had to go pour out my sweet tea. They had to pour the unsweet tea. Everybody behind me is getting aggravated while I'm pouring my tea. People get stuff wrong. The guy at Jets, whoever he is very good. I got to say.
You know,
St. Louis County Department of Revenue, on the other hand, not good at all.
I've told this story before. Pajeski has heard it. You have not heard it, I think. My old roommate used to run a few Jimmy John's stores in Chicago.
Yeah.
And so he was telling me the story about how he had a bunch of young kids that worked for him, you know, answering the phones, taking orders. And it's lunch rush. And they're going through all the tickets, and he looks at a ticket, and one of the tickets says, all those shoes, that the location was all those shoes. And he says, what does that mean, all those shoes? And it was all those shoes on Michigan Avenue. He's like, I don't know what the hell that means. What does that mean? And she goes, I don't know. They said all those shoes. He's like, do you mean Aldo shoes? A-L-D-O, Aldo shoes? She's like, yeah, I guess that's it. Awesome. Really funny. And also,
yes,
this is a customer service thing, but it's not a phone. Have you ever gotten iced coffee from McDonald's?
I have not.
Dude.
Yes?
It's the worst. They have good hot coffee.
Yeah, I agree.
Iced coffee. And they give it to you. It's like all milk. Just a big cup of milk with a splash of coffee in it.
Well, that's
and I got that, and I drove away, and I went, this does not look right. I went back into the drive-thru, and I said, can I just get a little coffee?
Yeah.
Or a little milk and mostly coffee? And they looked at me like I had seven heads.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Tonight is the State of the Union address.
It is.
John. And, you know, I know that for a lot of people, they prefer not to watch. And apparently a lot of Democrats are not going to watch. Maybe not a lot, but at least a handful have said that they are going to skip the proceedings tonight. Will not go there, but instead will take place in alternative programming. I suppose much like what happened with the Super Bowl halftime show. But there is a thing called the People's State of the Union. It's going to start on the National Mall around 8 o'clock, and a number of Democratic senators plan to attend that as opposed to going to the State of the Union. Other Democrats are bringing in Epstein survivors, so people who are public about being victims of Jeffrey Epstein or anybody who was involved with Epstein Island or part of the sex trafficking. Several Democrats are bringing along some of these survivors to the State of the Union. So, there's a lot going on here, and the State of the Union address has really become, in the last several years, highly charged.
Yeah.
It used to be pretty boring. You know, you watch it, the other one doesn't.
It was pageantry, and it was an important civic pageantry that took place, and the President of the United States enters the joint meeting of the House and Senate, walks down the center aisle, shakes hands, is acknowledged, recognized, standing ovation. There was a pageantry to it. It was a showpiece for the institutions of our government. And there was, you know, while not universal applause, there was universal decorum at that event. And it was a time that we could all come together and celebrate America. And it has ceased to be that. And I find it very regrettable. And I don't know that we'll ever have those days back. I remember being a kid and watching Jimmy Carter stride to the podium, watching Ronald Reagan stride to that podium, deliver his address after being shot, and seeing George Bush, W. Bush, take to the podium in the months after 9/11. And those are times, those are important times for a civic society, for a nation to be able to come together to rejoice or to mourn.
Yeah, I mean, here's the way I feel about tonight. I don't particularly care for this president. This is my personal opinion. You don't have to like my opinion, and that is fine. You can think he's the greatest thing that you've ever seen. I don't think that he is particularly good. I think he's legitimately divisive. I've always thought this thing that we've heard for years that Barack Obama is the most divisive president, and people are still saying that. I think that's weird because his rhetoric was never divisive. And this person's rhetoric is intentionally divisive, and he intentionally, explicitly targets people who disagree with him or who are on the opposite side of him. Always. And it's clear. It's not even hinted at. He just does it. And I think because of that, it has created a pretty lousy environment for States of the Union addresses.
Right.
However, I don't know how I feel about the opposing political party skipping it. I feel uneasy about it just because I don't want this to become a trend where every 4 years now we have a new president come in, and then every year that person delivers a State of the Union, the opposing party is just going to skip it.
I fear.
So if that's what the trend becomes, and that's how it is every single year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're already heading in a bad direction, but I think that gets us there quicker.
Yeah, and I fear that maybe that ship has sailed, and we're not going to have many, if any, moments of national coming together, you know, for a State of the Union address, an inauguration. These are public ceremonies that really are meaningful in the context of the life of a nation. It's how you build a civic identity. It's how you include people together and unite around a common set of values and principles. And those national ceremonies are important. And they become divisive and devalued to the detriment, I think, of a healthy republic.
Even if, you know, your people are just there, and even if the State of the Union address itself is boring and there's nothing there, and it's just, look at all the stuff I've accomplished, and then half the room claps and the other sits there on their hands, at least you're there. There's some visual of togetherness, even if they're not actually together or in agreement on anything of import. I mean, I don't know how I feel about people skipping it. I understand not liking the guy. I totally get that.
Well, I've had a lot of presidents I didn't care for.
Right.
But they're the president of the United States of America. And it's the House members. It's the Senate members. It's the Supreme Court, who, by the way, the president's been ripping of late by name. And the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I mean, it's the country. It's our entire three branches of government on display in the same room. It should be treated with respect and some level of awe for a republic that's been established now for 250 years under a constitution, the longest existing constitution in the history of the world. And it's under real stress right now in this country. And, I would hope that the State of the Union would be a place where we could at least agree that this nation is unique in world history and it's special. And I fear that that's just simply not the case.
For me, the first time I can remember, just in my lifetime, where there's been any sort of, you know, at the State of the Union, people typically just either listen, people in the room, in the chamber, they right. either listen, they clap, they don't clap. You don't get a whole lot of outbursts, and there have been more outbursts lately. The first one I can remember
was Joe Wilson, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you recall it before that?
No.
Where he said, "You lie."
Right.
Which was at the time a kind of a big deal. People didn't do that.
Right. Right.
It's gotten progressively worse.
It has.
You know Club Imperial, John?
No.
Which is on the north. You're a music person. I would think you know Club Imperial in North City. This was the venue that helped launch the careers of Tina.
Yeah.
And Ike Turner.
Yes.
And it's the building is still there, but it's been in disrepair for many years and is falling apart. The facade is there still. And
Where is it? It's in North City, but
it is in the 6300 block of Florissant, West Florissant. It's near Goodfellow.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah.
In fact, I saw David Hines perform there.
Oh.
Who was with Ike and Tina Turner. He actually did our wedding.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 35 years ago.
Yeah, well, they are looking to tear it down because the cost to keep it up would have been something close to $18 million just to renovate it, and it's been falling apart. And they are looking to at least salvage some of the more historic parts of the building.
I remember the place well now. I didn't call the name, but that's exactly where we went and saw David Hines.
Yeah, Club Imperial. And when I think about Tina Turner, I think a lot about this. I'm fascinated by Gaslight Square.
Yes.
So I don't obviously remember it because I wasn't around for it, but right in the Central West End at Olive and, I want to say Olive and Boyle.
Okay.
Does that sound right?
Could be.
Just north of Lindell by a couple of blocks.
Yeah.
There was this intersection and there were all these, you know, nightclub type places and music venues, and Tina Turner used to play there, and all of it's gone. It's all residential now.
Right, yeah.
But I'm just fascinated by that.
Yeah, you know who knows all about that is our own Johnny Rabbit. He can tell you about Gaslight Square. It was a little before my time, but some of my musical friends, the ragtime community here, they performed at Gaslight Square for years. St. Louis Ragtimers.
Yeah, it's such a cool thing, man. I wish I knew about that when I was growing up, and it's a thing that I learned about in the last probably 10 years.
I wonder if somebody's written a book. Surely somebody has written a book about Gaslight Square, because it would be a fun place to go back and visit.
Absolutely.
In the past.
I'm Emma Greed, host of Aspire with Emma Greed, a podcast where I sit down with people who don't just dream big, they build big. From culture-shaping voices like Mel Robbins to leaders redefining success like Tracy Ellis Ross to game-changing entrepreneurs like Mark Cuban, Aspire is about mindset, ambition, and doing the work that actually moves the needle. If you're ready to raise your standards and take charge about the life and career you're building, Aspire is where you start. Follow and listen to Aspire with me, Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.